Salisbury Cathedral for the Meadows was painted in 1831 and is one of Constable's largest oil paintings. Measuring 147 centimetres high and 189 centimetres wide, it is one of his larger works, known as Six Footers. Salisbury Cathedral, or the Cathedral Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary as it's formerly known, is instantly recognisable in the centre of the work, with its tall, thin, pointed spire, which at 123 metres high remains the tallest spire in the UK. In a letter to his wife Maria, Constable described it as darting up into the sky like a needle. The cathedral is viewed from the northwest, and the treatment is bold and dramatic, with thick, dense paint and an intensity of colour that moves away from the naturalistic to something more impassioned. There are two contrasting elements between which our gaze moves. The cathedral itself, just to the left of centre, is set against a stormy sky. Held within the arc of a rainbow, the building occupies the middle ground and anchors the picture. The other element is the rural foreground, reminiscent of Constable's Suffolk paintings, a river populated by working folk and animals. Our viewpoint of the scene is across this river. It's probably the Nadder, a tributary of the Wiltshire Avon. Along the bottom of the painting, the bank we're on, is covered with a scratchy tangle of brambles. A couple of fence posts lean to the left, their cross struts broken or gone. In the centre is a patch of muddy shore, and to the right, a little low forest of ramshackle fencing. The river runs the whole width of the painting about a quarter of the way up, curving down slightly as it laps at the riverbank in the centre. To the far right, the river splits, one branch disappearing off the bottom right corner, while another curves up and round, back towards the cathedral. This creates a promontory of land between us and the cathedral, where a couple of cream-painted buildings with low orange-tiled roofs nestle half-hidden among dense green foliage. To the left, a tall tree with a twisting trunk leans up and left. The river scoops the soil from its roots, while the tree's leafy canopy reaches almost to the top of the painting. In an area of dark shadow to the very left of the painting sits a small, squat church tower. If this side of the work is dark and tangled, over to the right, just the other side of the curving river, a green, open meadow leads to the distant horizon, about halfway up the painting, and level with the base of the cathedral. Strung out along the line of the horizon, a number of buildings and mature trees. Like a poor relation of the tall, twisting tree on the left, a gnarled and broken stump stands at the water's edge in the foreground to the right. Although it looks dead, a few tender branches have begun to sprout out of its split and jagged top. A number of figures animate this highly detailed landscape. With us, on the shore in the foreground, is a small black dog, a border collie. He looks as though, leading us to the river, he has stopped, just shy of the water's edge, and turned his head slightly to the left, showing us a white muzzle and a little pink tongue. He looks towards a farm cart which stands in the river, its four wooden wheels, larger at the back than at the front, several inches deep in water. The cart is in profile, facing towards the right, and with a line of three cart horses in front of it, is reminiscent of a classical frieze. Two of the horses are chestnut, the lead horse grey, and they all stand in the water, heads lowered, reins slack, at rest. A splash of bright red is provided by the padding on their harnesses. The cart driver, too, is at rest. Wearing a white shirt, mustard waistcoat, and black hat, he's turned away, one elbow leaning on the front of the cart. In his other hand, he holds a long whip, its curved tip in the air. Although his back is to us, his face is turned to look at something over where the river splits. Just to the right of the grey lead horse, where the river curves up and round, another man pulls his small wooden boat onto the overgrown bank of the promontory. He plants his long, sturdy punting pole in the ground as though to give himself purchase as he hauls the boat up out of the water. He also seems to be looking over his shoulder in the same direction as the cart driver, and the angle of his punting pole mirrors that of the driver's whip. A number of small birds skimming the surface of the water here add a sense of movement and excitement. But whatever it is that's catching the attention of these men, it certainly isn't what's taking ours. And that's the cathedral, which dominates the centre of this landscape. Viewing the cathedral from the northwest, the west wall is to the right, angled a little towards us, its pointed gable flanked by two tall towers. Although some distance away, the intricate detail of this highly decorated facade is finely rendered with delicate brushstrokes, its many niches, statues and ornate tracery giving the surface of the stone a translucent, lacy quality. Rising from a slate-grey roof, the spire too has its stonework precisely painted as it pierces a rolling and turbulent sky. "The sky is the source of light in nature," Constable wrote, "and it governs everything." Over the cathedral, though, the light of nature is almost snuffed out by the deep purple and grey clouds which amass above it, appearing almost more solid than the stone from which the cathedral is made. Perhaps its most dramatic feature, though, is a rainbow, which arcs from the top of the painting just left of centre, down towards the right, its end seeming almost to hit the buildings on the horizon and rebound back into the clouds. The curve of the rainbow frames the top and right of the cathedral, as the river and the tall twisting tree frame the bottom and the left side, together seeming to embrace the building. One patch of brightness breaks through the gloomy mass of cloud, just behind the cross, at the very tip of the spire. Outside the rainbow, in the top right corner of the painting, the storm has passed. The sky is lighter, pale blue with bright white clouds that create silvery reflections in the water below. Faint smudges of pink seem like memories of the deep purple rain clouds, and golden sunlight warms the bright green, fresh-watered meadow. Constable's wife Maria had died of tuberculosis towards the end of 1828, and he felt it deeply. "The face of the world is totally changed to me," he wrote. In the period after her death, Constable's greatest friend and confidant was Archdeacon John Fisher, the bishop's nephew, and it's no coincidence that the arc of the rainbow ends at Leadenhall, where John Fisher lived. Fisher had invited Constable to stay with him there on two occasions in 1829, and it was on one of these visits that Constable started to make the sketches and studies on which the final picture was based. Fisher encouraged Constable to work up the Salisbury composition for exhibition at the Royal Academy in 1831. While Constable was scrupulous in his recordings of natural phenomena, and is known to have made meteorologically accurate studies of rainbows around this time, this rainbow isn't one of them. It doesn't appear in any of the preparatory sketches, and was added as an afterthought, as X-rays of the painting have shown. The colours of the rainbow are also muted, almost ghostly, taking on the greys and purples of the sky, rather than blazing with seven bright colours. Its presence is more symbolic, recalling the bow God set in the cloud to signal his covenant with Noah that the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. This symbolic reading is reinforced by the fact that Constable chose lines from James Thomson's 1727 poem The Seasons to go alongside the painting's title, when it was first displayed in the Royal Academy. "As from the face of heaven, the scattered clouds tumultuous rove, the interminable sky sublimer swells, and o'er the world expands a purer azure. Through the lightened air a higher lustre and a clearer calm diffusive tremble. while as if in sign of danger past. A glittering robe of joy, set off abundant by the yellow ray, invests the fields, and nature smiles revived. In Constable's own words, from a series of lectures he gave in 1834, "I mean more than the rainbow itself. I mean dewy light and freshness, the departing shower with the exhilaration of the returning sun." This audio description was developed by Vocalise in collaboration with Tate for Aspire, a partnership programme touring Salisbury Cathedral from the Meadows 1831 across the UK. Aspire is supported by the Heritage Lottery Fund and the Art Fund.